Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
The True Crime Society podcast contains adult themes and violence and is not intended for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. And if you'd like to skip the intro or move to any specific part of the podcast, please refer to the timestamps listed in the episode description. Thank you. What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the True Crime Society podcast with Stephanie and Olivia. It is March 15th, 2026. Weather update, cold, shitty, gray again in New York, sad. We got a little taste of the warm weather, but as people who live in this type of climate know, that was just like fake spring, faux spring. Now we are back in just like crappy, gross winter, no sun. Miserable, sad.
I feel like it is getting colder. Like I wore my summer PJs to bed, and when I woke up this morning, I'm like, oh, it is a little bit fresh, but it's a beautiful sunny day. Like I feel like maybe it's starting to get a little bit cooler, but it's just that little bit cooler, which it's more pleasant. It's not too cold yet.
Nice. My my life update is Jack is 7 months. He has been having purees. And now my doctor wants us to start doing finger foods. And I've been trying to do this like baby-led weaning bullshit. And it's the most stressful thing I've ever done in my life. I hate it so much. He's about to eat purees and mush until he goes to college because I can't do this. Oh my God, I hate it so much. I literally feel sick to my stomach every time I give him something. I've been giving him the little puffs, so those are going okay. But then, you know, I use the app Solid Starts like everyone does. That gives you all the like recommendations, how to do things. It's like, I'll give him like a banana spear, like bananas, like a low choking risk, and it just mush. So I gave him a spear. I split the banana into like three. He's holding it. He's like biting it. He's like into it. And of course it gets stuck to the roof of his mouth, immediately vomits everywhere multiple times. And I was like, I hate this so much. And every time he gags, I get stressed out and everything's like, gagging's normal. They're going to
gag. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I feel like gagging is how they, I know how they get the textures. But
yeah, like I know it. I know. But as soon as it starts happening, I just get so scared. And like I watch videos all the time of like the choking rescue. Just so it's like fresh in my mind. Like, I know you do the back blows. I know the back blows are effective. I have a life back if we need to use it. But still, it's just so scary. It sucks. Yeah. I hate it.
I know, it's so hard. Like they stick their tongue out, their eyes closed. You're like, oh my gosh, what's going on?
I know. I'm like, are you choking? Are you gagging? Like, I know the difference, but still. And you just want to reach in and like fish out of their mouth, but you're not supposed to do that either because you could push it. And it's just the worst. So that's where I'm at these days. Just every week is a new stress.
Yeah.
Now, speak of the devil. He just appeared. Baby man. I was talking about how stressful it is feeding him solids. Oh, we hate it. But what's going on with you?
Not too much. So I had a funny little story. So I had my annual book club weekend away. This year we go to the same place. Like I had it this weekend, it's Monday here. So we go to the same place every year and we do the same things, but I didn't really like post much about it. It just came up really quick and all that. Anyway, so on Saturday night, we went to the pub that we always go to. And I'm glad it was a bit early because we'd been at a bottomless champagne brunch. So everyone was feeling very happy, I guess. Anyway, sat down and this girl came up to me and she goes, oh, I'm really sorry to interrupt you. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, so I might get it wrong. But she's like, do you do True Crime Society? And I'm like, yeah. She said her name was Taylor. I'm pretty sure it was Taylor. And she goes, I listened and I just thought it was you. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this has literally never happened to me. Once someone else when I was in Aldi, they sent me a message another time saying, were you just in Aldi? And that was funny. But this is like literally never happens to me. And I was like, oh my gosh, she was from another state, also on vacation or holiday for this weekend at a pub. I think she was there for her sister's like hen's party, bachelorette party. So I was like, this is wild. So anyway, I just couldn't believe it happened. So I wanted to say hello to Taylor. Thank you. It was lovely to meet you. I hope you had a great weekend.
It's so funny because that happened to me the one time too, if you remember, at this big fair. Her name was Chelsea. I follow her on Instagram still. And I just remember I was like so sweaty and gross and like hot. And she was like the most gorgeous girl I've ever seen. And she like came up to you and she's like, oh my God, are you Stephanie from True Crime Society? And I was like, yes. It feels so weird. But it's so funny because like you and I don't really post it on like Instagram as like influencers, like a ton. No. Like, don't post that much. So that's why it's funny when people like recognize us.
And also because like I feel like if someone's from Australia, they may be able to kind of figure out the area that I live in, but I wasn't even there. And I was in like, we were both in totally different areas from where we live. And then I just couldn't believe it. I was like, this is wild.
Yeah. That's how at the fair she knew, because I was talking about going to the fair. So she knew there was a chance. It's always funny when that happens. It's only happened to me the one time. So.
I'm like, I better be.
I don't leave my house anymore, so don't bother anyone.
I'm glad she said I spoke to her early-ish in the night because I think it was like maybe, I don't know, 6 o'clock or something. But rather than like later, because I'm like, okay, I just had a few champagnes, I was fine. Oh my gosh.
Speaking of people, listeners, well, I guess we're gonna be talking about listeners for a minute, but I did want to thank our Patreon subscriber and listener, Holly. She sent me some little treats for my birthday, and I thought that was super, super nice of her. So I just wanted to say thank you so much. I really, really appreciate it. The snacks have been getting me through these long days taking care of a 7-month-old baby. So thank you again.
Very nice. Lovely listeners, really.
Yeah, I know, like, there's so many times, even, like, when I was pregnant, people were like, oh, like, send us your baby registry. Like, we want to send you stuff. And I just, like, never got around to it. But there's... people are so nice and are always trying to like offer to do nice things for us. So we really do appreciate it. And if we ever don't respond, usually for me, it's just because I like lose track of everything so easily these days, but we do appreciate it. So thank you guys so much for being kind. That could lead us into our Patreon shout outs. Do you want to do them? I did them last time.
Okay. So this week we have Anita, Richard, Leah, Eric, Laura, Bonnie, Lyndall, Merle, Margot, and Amanda. So thank you very much. And our listener of the week also is a Patreon, and it was Merle. So we always try and say thank you when anyone joins up on Patreon. We just send a quick thank you message, which we did. She wrote, thank you both. Your podcast has become the centerpiece of the small moments of me time I still have as a mum. I love it. And I love the chat at the beginning. It helps me zone in and get in the mood. That was very nice.
Thank you. She wrote a nice comment too in one of the chats that I responded to.
Seen that one yet.
So welcome. Yeah, thanks for being a nice gal.
Yeah. So I just had two other things just to quickly mention before we get into today's case. One is I wanted to, which has been a while, mention two, don't forget to listen to Below the Surface, which is another different podcast that I've been working on with Mike Morford, who does criminology. We release it every 2 weeks. It's a different format to True Crime Society. It's a lot shorter, but it's basically about water-based crimes or crimes that have a connection to water. So ones that we've done recently are Elisa Lam. We've done another one on Tucker Hips, who was a male who died probably after a hazing incident and no one has ever been charged. So I feel like because it's a shorter format, we can cover some different cases than we do here. So definitely check that out. And just one other update, which I feel like it's been a while since we've done any actual case updates on ones that we've covered. And I've mentioned this guy a lot and I've always wondered what happened to him. It's about Jared Shadid. He was an attorney who went missing in 2023. He did this kind of cross-country road trip to Seattle, was seen leaving an Airbnb, and then his car was found later in LA. So I've always wondered what happened to him. Like, there was basically a bunch of media attention when we did the episode years ago and nothing since. But this week, someone posted on Reddit about it. So I've been following the thread. Anyway, someone then, like, so everyone was discussing if he was still alive, and then the comments were like, no, he's still missing, that he may have been sighted in some areas. But then someone found some arrest records for him from April 2025 in Washington County, I believe it was. So anyway, it turns out, if you remember Jared Shadid's episode, that he is alive. It sounds like he has suffered some type of mental health break. This is just an update from a friend of his just a few days ago. She wrote, Jared has been found, but has chosen to stay away. I'm so glad there are people looking for him, because there isn't a day that goes by that I don't think of him. He's currently traveling up and down from the Washington, Oregon area, from what I can tell, and the eyewitness have messaged me, but they have said he is mentally unwell. So they've basically said that everyone who first come in contact with him, I said that he's kind and not dangerous, but if anyone does see him, to encourage him to get some mental health care. So I like, you know, I feel like often long-term missing people, it's not a good outcome. I feel like this one does still have the chance to maybe be a good outcome if he will mm-hmm. be found and get some help, but he is alive, which is very unusual good. After 3 years. Yeah.
Yeah. So hopefully he can get some help and someone can break through to him. Cause it is, yeah. It's just like so sad how that can happen. Like who knows where he's been or if he's been living on the streets and what's been going on.
The arrest record. Someone said that they found multiple records. I've only seen one and it was like for theft of an item under $750. So I suspect he's probably, you know, unhoused. Maybe he was stealing food. I don't know. It doesn't sound like he's not out there committing major, massive crimes. I'm not saying it's right, but it sounds like it's petty, a petty crime because of his living situation is what I would think it is related to.
Yeah.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Okay, so today we're going to be talking about the case of Claudia Lawrence, which is a case out of the UK. So a little bit different for us.
And when we always ask for recommendations, people are like, please do more non-US cases. And we've always spoken to about why we do, just because a lot of countries, Australia, Canada, England, have much stricter privacy laws. So we just don't get as much information. So this one is one I've followed from the start, and I am glad that we get a chance to cover it today.
So on the morning of March 19th, 2009, a chef in York, England, left her home for work before dawn. She never arrived. Her phone stayed on for hours after she vanished before it was deliberately turned off. Now, 17 years later, no one has been charged. This is the mystery of Claudia Lawrence. The disappearance of Claudia Lawrence is one of the UK's most famous unsolved missing persons cases. On March 18th, 2026, coming up in a couple days, that'll be 17 years since she was last seen. So some background, Claudia Elizabeth Lawrence was born on February 27, 1974. She was born in Malton, North Riding of Yorkshire. Her parents are Joan and Peter, and her older sister is Allie, who was born in 1971. The family were well known in their local community. Peter worked as a solicitor, and Joan was a member of the town council and served a term as mayor of the town. Claudia had a comfortable upbringing. She played the flute, and the two sisters would ride horses on the weekends. Claudia loved horses and would continue riding up until her disappearance. The family lived in a 5-bedroom home that had paddocks, and the girls had their own horses. The garden of the home was used as donkey sanctuary, so this all sounds very luxurious.
Yeah, very, very British countryside.
Yes. Claudia attends school at the York College for Girls. Her father said Allie was more academically minded, while Claudia was brave, adventurous, and always wanting to do things. She would go out for long rides and would help mucking out at the stables. She enjoyed school, although maybe not the work as much, but she was happy and had a lot of friends. She later attended a local catering school and became qualified as a chef. After she became qualified, she worked for several hotels and restaurants in York. These jobs involved unsocial hours, and she became tired of them. In 2006, Claudia began working at the York Goodricke College. She worked there as a chef in the university's main campus. This likely involves some better working hours for her. Peter, her father, said chefs are not particularly well paid unless you get to be famous, but she had no aspirations to do that. She was really happy doing what she was doing. In 2007, Claudia purchased a cottage in the York suburb of Heworth, which was around 3 miles or 5 kilometers from where she was working at the time. Claudia was said to be a reliable and punctual employee. She enjoyed travel, and she especially liked visiting Cyprus. At one point, she was also looking for job opportunities there. She also enjoyed having a very busy social life. She generally remained single, but was reported to have had some covert sexual relationships. I've never said covert so much, but I said covert in the last episode too.
Oh, did you?
It's weird to, yeah.
That's actually like a quote. We didn't write that. That's a quote from an article that said she was having these covert sexual relationships. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, covert sexual relationships with men, some of whom were married or in relationships. She was said to be discreet about these relationship, about these relationships and she kept them from her family. We're only bringing this up. I don't want to risk sounding like slut shaming because like who cares what she does, but it does come up later in like in the police investigation. So that's why it's being brought up for someone's like, hey, hey, hey.
Yeah, what are you doing? And because I was even hesitant to put it in, but I feel like it is part of this story. It's what was reported on, and we'll get more into why because we're obviously going chronologically, but that is kind of like people might be like, did she have a partner? This is what she was doing at the time.
Generally, every night after Claudia finished work, she would often visit the Nag's Head pub, which was close to her home. According to Yorkshire Post, Claudia, quote, began relationships with several men whom she met while drinking in the pub, and her father admitted that the liaisons had created awkward situations with her lover's partners. Dad commenting on that, I'd be like, ugh. Claudia was such a regular at the pub that she was known to frequently play Elton John's Your Song on the jukebox. So it just seemed like, you know, one of the local townies that would go to the pub, be seen there often.
I feel like, too, it's, like, quite a small little place. Like, the population of Heworth is around 5,000 people. So, like, I've lived in the UK and I know that when you live in a small area, like, you know, everyone goes to the local pub. It's always the same people. Everyone would have been very familiar with her.
Yeah. So Claudia's friend Jen said that she was a simple person and that she was fairly easily pleased. She liked to buy a new top now and again, go to the pub, see her horse, listen to music. She didn't desire the grand things in life. She just wanted a nice sunshine holiday and to have a tan. Same. Claudia went missing on Wednesday, March 18th, 2009. In terms of a timeline for that day, she began work in the morning and finished her shift at 2 p.m. Claudia had been walking to work as she had been having car troubles. The walk would generally take her about 45 minutes each way. She was seen on CCTV leaving her workplace a few minutes after 2 p.m., so that all tracks. That's when her shift was over, and that's when she left. At 3 p.m., Claudia was seen on CCTV again, passing a shop near her home. She was also seen by a neighbor at this time. That evening, she spoke to both her parents on the phone. Jones said that Claudia seemed normal and relaxed. They discussed plans for Mother's Day. Her mother said, we'd both been watching Location, Location, Location on television. It was being filmed in Harrogate, and we have a friend there, so we just chatted about that. She seemed absolutely fine. Claudia told her mother that she was home and that she planned to go to bed early. She said she had to be up at 5 a.m. the next day to walk to work because of her car issues. The last text that she sent was at 8:23 p.m., and the final text was received at 9:12 p.m. This was the last time that Claudia was heard from. Claudia had been scheduled to start work at 6 a.m. on Thursday, March 19th. She didn't show up for work, and her manager called her phone, but the phone rang and ended up going to voicemail, and the manager didn't do anything further at that time. Claudia had previously arranged to meet a friend named Susie Cooper that night at the Nag's Head pub. Susie showed up, but Claudia didn't. Susie tried to get in contact with her, but was unable to. Claudia was said to be attached to her phone, so Susie thought this was strange. Susie sent her a text joking about being stood up, and she tried to call her, but the phone went straight to voicemail. So Susie assumed that Claudia had been asleep or maybe that her phone had died. On Friday, March 20th, 2009, Susie tried to contact Claudia again and was still unable to reach her, and this is when alarm bells started to go off for her. She said, I was off work that week, so the next morning, the Friday, I rang her again and it was switched off. That was totally out of character. At that point, I knew something was wrong. Susie started to contact mutual friends to see if anyone had seen her. When there was no trace of Claudia, Susie called Claudia's father, Peter. She said, I told him Claudia hadn't turned up when we arranged to meet and that she hadn't answered my calls and that I was really worried, so he drove straight over. Peter called Claudia's employer and was told that she hadn't showed up for work on either the 19th or the 20th. Peter had a key to Claudia's home and he went there to check if anything had happened to her. George Foreman, who is a friend of Claudia's, also went with Peter. George was the landlord of Nag's Pub, so I guess he just went along. When the men entered the home, Claudia's slippers were neatly by the door. Jewelry she typically took off for work and left at home was on the chest of drawers. In the kitchen, next to the bathroom, her toothbrush had been left on the draining board. Her phone and rucksack containing her chef's whites and her hair straightener were missing. Claudia's handbag containing her purse, bank cards, and passport was found in the home. Her bed was made and there were dishes in the sink, indicating that she had eaten breakfast. Everything suggested she left for work as planned. Claudia was reported missing to the North Yorkshire Police around 2 p.m. on March 20th, 2009. Police met with Peter at her home. Police initially speculated that Claudia had decided to take off for a few days and would shortly reappear. Why do police always assume this?
Yeah, I know.
They're always like, oh, she just ran off. And the parents are like, no, she wouldn't do that. Like, and they're like, no, she probably did. I feel like we hear that time and time again. So they did check her route to work and asked the public for information to no avail. Her father said, when I called, I expected them to say, given how long she'd been missing, to give it a day or two, but it was the complete opposite. There were about 150 to 200 officers combing every inch of the route she would have taken, the route she would have taken to the university. It just all seemed very surreal. So at least they did put in the effort to search, even though they thought she just ran off.
Yeah.
Claudia's family were insistent that something had happened to her. They never believed that she would have left voluntarily. On March 23rd, 2009, there was an appeal for Claudia featured on the front page of the local paper. So there's a picture of it. It just says, please come home. Very big, has her picture. Reporter Nicholas Small said everybody wanted to know what the latest developments were and everybody had their own theory about what happened. These things didn't happen here. Young woman with everything to live for didn't vanish without a trace. The case was handed to one of North Yorkshire's most senior officers, Detective Superintendent Ray Galloway. The case became one of the largest investigations in the history of the force. Claudia's home was thoroughly searched and discounted as a crime scene due to the lack of evidence or struggle or foul play. One other theory was that Claudia had been in an accident or suffered a medical emergency while on her way to work. The route to work was checked thoroughly and no trace of her was found, so this theory was also quickly dismissed. There's no digital trail that could be used in the search for Claudia. She didn't own a computer, had no social media, and didn't use the internet on her phone. So this was 2009, as we said. Her phone wasn't able to provide location information, really. It's not like that there were. I don't even know. I think that there's still more like flip phonies there, just maybe like early smartphones, but it wasn't like today.
They did list her model of phone. I'll just Google it quickly.
It was a Samsung.
Samsung SGH. So yeah, so I've just looked up a phone. It was a Samsung SGH D900. And basically it looks like it's just like one of those small little black phones. It says it's a stylish 12.9 millimeter slim slider phone. So it's one of those ones that you could slide down to open
slider.
Up. Yeah, so very, very, I feel like I saved up to buy a phone like that around that time. Yeah. So yeah.
So yeah, it's not like today where you can get tons of information easily. So police were able to determine that Claudia's phone was deliberately turned off though at 12:10 PM on March 19th, 2009, and that the phone was in an 8-mile radius of York at that time.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
So authorities first said they were fairly certain that Claudia had left for work on 19th of March and that something had happened to her after that. As we mentioned, her bag with her chef's whites was gone. I guess, you know, maybe she didn't ever take her handbag to work because, you know, you don't really need your bank cards and that if you're just going straight to work and home. So maybe that would explain why that was left behind. But it looks like she performed her whole morning routine, brushed her teeth, had breakfast and left for work. Witnesses came forward and claimed to have seen Claudia that morning. One cyclist said they saw someone matching her description talking to her man who would eventually be called the left-handed smoker by police. The witness saw Claudia and the man at around 5:35 a.m. near the Melrose Gate Bridge. If Claudia had left for work at her normal time, she would have been at the bridge at around that time. So this sighting did seem pretty plausible. A different witness came forward and said that they had seen a man and a woman arguing next to a vehicle that was parked on University Way, and this was around the time that Claudia would have been due to start work. Both of these sightings were investigated, but the people involved were never identified. So that's interesting to me because I feel like in such a small town, everyone probably would have known. Not when I know there would have been some people, but generally people wouldn't have known about what was going on. So it's interesting that none of these sightings were ever corroborated. The people never came forward.
Yeah.
There was a CCTV camera on Claudia's most direct way to work, but she was not caught on that camera on the 19th of March. This doesn't necessarily mean, though, she didn't pass by it. Police said maybe she ended up going a different way that day for some reason, or maybe she passed by out of view of the camera. So it doesn't necessarily mean she didn't make it to that point that day. Crime Stoppers offered a reward of £10,000 to anyone providing information which would lead to the arrest and conviction of anyone linked to Claudia's disappearance, and police received over 1,200 tips via phone. So according to the BBC, 6 weeks after Claudia vanished, her case was changed from that of a missing person to a suspected murder case. Joan, her mother, says she found out about the case status change from a TV news report. She said, "I got such a shock, I couldn't believe it." Joan has been critical of the police investigation from very early on. She said that the police initially publicised a photo of Claudia with the wrong hair colour. She also said that police did not speak to the family immediately after Claudia was reported missing. She went on to say that the police came to see me once a few days later. He never asked me what Claudia was like, what her hobbies were. He didn't want to get to know her. I told police that she didn't look like that when she disappeared. Her hair was much darker, but they carried on using that photo for a number of years.
That's crazy too. Like, you think they'd want to use an accurate looking photo.
And especially, like, I know that Joan said that they didn't speak to her for a few days, but a few days is still pretty early on. They would have had time to then go forward and use a more accurate photo, and it just seems like they didn't really care. So in May of 2009, police released CCTV of a man seen walking near Claudia's home on the morning that she vanished. At 5:07 a.m., the man could be seen walking into Heworth Place towards an alley behind her house. Just over a minute later, he reappeared and joined the main road. So I've got some screenshots of this CCTV. I'll put it on the blog. It's literally, you can't really see much. It's kind of like a black clothed figure or a dark clothed figure.
Yeah, from in the background.
It's just some basic CCTV. Detective Superintendent Galloway told the York Press that the man's actions were strange and urged him to come forward so he could be excluded from the inquiry. He has never been identified. So by June 2009, investigators were focusing on people who may have been romantically involved with Claudia. Detective Superintendent Galloway appeared on Crime Watch and he asked questions like, who was Claudia going out with? Who was she seeing? He also asked viewers, who was her boyfriend? Who was maybe showing some unhealthy interest? At one point, he described Claudia's relationships as complex and mysterious. I did find another screenshot from an article that listed a bunch of the headlines that people were writing about this and her, I guess, her sexual relationships that she was having. These are just some of them. It says, "Mystery of Claudia's Wild Secret Sex Life," "The Secret Life of Missing Chef Claudia Lawrence and the Numerous Liaisons with Married Men." There's another one that says, "Missing Chef Claudia Lawrence got a kick out of married men and had 40 mystery lovers." So this is what we meant earlier when we were bringing up that aspect of her life, because the media did sensationalize it a lot and really ran with this kind of salacious aspect of the case at the time.
Of course.
One journalist said that, quote, "Claudia apparently lived a significant part of her life in secret. For a privately educated daughter of a country solicitor, Claudia had some unusual acquaintances, and this remains the only missing persons case where I have been warned or threatened, not once, but twice."
Very weird.
Yeah. So a criminology lecturer at Lancaster University named Dr. Charlotte Barlow said, "Claudia's sex life, her alleged affairs were represented in the press as being of key relevance to her case and status as a victim. Some of the main phrases used to refer to her were things like scarlet woman or homewrecker. And it's this kind of narrative and language which has underlying highly gendered assumptions." So Claudia was painted in some articles as being the other woman, which would be maybe a motive for someone to want to hurt her. Peter spoke about this and said, "Claudia was given a hard time by one or two of them, but I don't think there were any physical attacks." Her friend Susie said, "If this was a man, this kind of behavior would not have been an issue," which I absolutely agree with. Mm-hmm. And her friend Jen said, "There was a marked change when the salacious story started. They didn't mention Claudia, the great friend, the loving daughter, the chef who went to work even if she was on death's door." She went on to say, "She may have been seeing someone, she may have been going on dates we didn't know about, but really it was a non-thing as far as we were concerned. She wasn't exclusive with anyone at the time. She wasn't married and she didn't have kids to look after. She was just living her life, and why not?" So Peter has spoken out about finding out about Claudia's relationships. He said, "It was obviously difficult to hear and, of course, the media just went crazy with it. But she was a 35-year-old single woman. It would have been more unusual if she hadn't have had any relationships." So the pub, as I mentioned, it is a pub, but a lot of pubs, and it's the same here, have kind of like accommodation on top. They may have like a few rooms that you can rent out, which it sounds like the Nags had had, because police did end up taking bed sheets from the pub to investigate. They interviewed regulars at the pub, but no concrete evidence was ever found relating to Claudia's disappearance. In September of 2009, police began to look more into the possibility that Claudia had maybe taken off to Cyprus to live, even though she left her passport and bank cards at home. Detective Superintendent Galloway said that Claudia knew several people who may live on the island and that she may have received job offers while she was there. He also stated that some people who had been interviewed had been reluctant and less than candid when spoken to, and that a team of officers had been sent to Cyprus to interview people who knew Claudia. It was reported that the last text message Claudia received was from a man who lived on the island. You know, I feel like absolutely it should be investigated, but it seems highly unlikely that she went there. Another aspect they looked at was that a building at the university called the Ron Cook Hub was being built in 2009. There were rumours that Claudia had been involved with a man or men who had been working on that project. Reporter Mike Laycock said with that building project, there was a lot of concrete being put down and there was the suggestion that she may have been dumped under there. In October of 2009, police revealed that they were trying to track down the driver of a rusty white van who had been trying to talk to women in their area at the time that Claudia disappeared. So a lot of noise in the case, like, did she take off for Cyprus? Was someone, like, maybe the partner or someone she was involved with? Was she buried under this concrete? Like, just so many things going on. Like, I feel like in a lot of investigations, there's like maybe one more likely aspect or one avenue that they were going down, but there just seems like there was a lot going on in this case.
I was just thinking that too. It seems like there's a lot of like talk, but they don't really seem to know anything. So there's so many like ideas.
Yeah. So in July of 2010, which was 16 months after Claudia disappeared, the investigation into her case was scaled down. In February of 2011, Crime Stoppers withdrew the reward that they had offered. Detective Superintendent Galloway has spoken about the case at that time, and he said that he had spent many restless nights thinking about her. He said, "It does haunt me. There is every potential that we have spoken to her killer." Detective Superintendent Malin conducted a review of the case in 2016, and he said, "I still strongly favour the theory that the person or persons responsible for Claudia's disappearance was someone or several people who were close to her. It was either very well planned or there was a huge element of luck to have gotten away with so far at least." He went on to say, "In my view, they have probably been helped by the fact that those closely associated with Claudia have withheld key information." His team had at that point spent 2 years unearthing new significant leads and theories. The most significant change at that time was that whatever had happened to Claudia actually happened on the 18th of March 2009 and not the next day, which, I don't know, I still am not sure how I feel about that, because where was her, you know, her chef's clothing, all that type of stuff. Like, I guess her bed could have still been made from the day before if she'd ended up going to bed, but that was kind of a change in the investigation at that point.
I wonder if she, as you were talking about before, like normally would bring her like wallet or purse or like with her debit cards with her. Cause I always would bring mine, but I guess I don't really live in like a walking town.
Yeah.
But it just seems weird to leave that behind unless she normally did.
Yeah. So after this new review was completed, Claudia's house was forensically re-examined using technology that had not been available in 2009. This search turned up new fingerprints and DNA. And as far as I can tell, they haven't been identified to this day. If they have, the police haven't said anything, but they did apparently find some new evidence at the time. I did find it interesting because they said the house was thoroughly searched, but as they mentioned, new technology, things evolve and develop. So maybe they were very lucky to be able to go back in and get it all these years, like 6-7 years after she went missing. Police also searched on their hands and knees in the alley behind Claudia's home, as it believed if there was a perpetrator in her house that night, that person would have used the alley. So again, I feel like 7 years later is a bit late, but I guess at least they're doing it. So police also eventually found CCTV from the 18th of March 2009 that showed a man that was similar to the one seen the next day on the 19th of March, the man we mentioned earlier. The new footage was shot by the same camera to the previous evening and appeared to show the same man in the same place. The man walked into Heworth Place and out of shot before reappearing about a minute later, stopping briefly while someone up ahead walks across the road. So North Yorkshire Police said that this person remains a key person to trace, which is kind of interesting. Like, I don't know why they wouldn't have looked at the day before. I guess they were just focused on the 19th. And then when they went back and found the footage, this man does look like the same guy, but it really essentially could be anyone. It just looks like a normal.
I was just going to say, what sucks is like, you really can't tell who, you could know the person, you probably wouldn't really be able to tell. Yeah.
Like, yeah, absolutely. You can't say facial features. You may know from the body type maybe, but it's not like you'd be like, yep, that's John or whoever. You would have no idea. So in 2014, police did make the first arrest in Claudia's case, and this info is from the BBC. It says a house in North Shields was searched and a pub in York had its cellar dug up. For reasons that remain unknown, Claudia's phone had been traced to that area in the weeks before she vanished. A 59-year-old man was held on suspicion of murder and a 46-year-old man was held on suspicion of perverting the course of justice. Both were released later that year without charge. The following year, hopes were again raised when four local men who drank in the Nag's Head were arrested on suspicion of murder. Then in March 2016, the Crown Prosecution Service abandoned proceedings, citing a lack of evidence. North Yorkshire Police said at the time the case had ultimately been compromised by the reluctance of some and the refusal of others to cooperate. So both of those things must have, you know, raised some hope for the family. Like, literally, a bunch of people have been arrested on suspicion of murder, and then for them to drop the charges twice in two separate incidents is pretty crazy.
It just seems like they have no idea.
Yeah. So in 2018, police announced that they had been unable to identify the suspect from DNA, but they had found a cigarette butt in Claudia's car. Detective Superintendent Malin said, "I am sure that there are some people who know or have been who have very strong suspicions about what happened to Claudia. For whatever reason, they've either refused to come forward or have been economical with the truth." He went on to say, "I'm left with the inescapable conclusion that this case could be solved if only people were honest with us. The fact that they are not is agonizing for Claudia's family, and they should be ashamed of themselves." So by 2019, the case was said to be in the reactive phase, meaning that it would only be reviewed if new information came to light. Detective Superintendent Malin said at that time, "North Yorkshire Police will never give up on Claudia and her family." In August and September of 2021, police conducted a search on the Sandhutton Gravel Pits, which is a wooded area around 8 miles or 13 kilometres from the York city centre. This search was prompted by new evidence, but police wouldn't elaborate on what it was. They drained a lake in the area, and they also used ground penetrating radar and cadaver dogs. At the end of the search, though, nothing significant was said to be found. There is one other case when I was researching that people bring up as maybe being related to Claudia because there are some parallels. In 2011, Sian O'Callaghan was murdered after leaving a nightclub and starting to walk the 20 minutes home in Swindon in England. A licensed taxi pulled up to Sian and offered her a ride home, and she accepted. Instead of taking her home, though, the driver, who was a man named Christopher Halliwell, took her to a secluded location and murdered her. So that was 2011. In 2009, when Claudia disappeared, Christopher was living in Swindon, but he had links to Yorkshire as his father lived there. Police have stated there is no direct evidence that links Christopher to Claudia's case, and they said they have him on CCTV buying petrol in Swindon before around the time that Claudia disappeared. John spoke about the possibility of the two cases maybe being linked, and he said the police may have not proved that he had anything to do with my daughter's disappearance, but they haven't disproved it either. So Peter campaigned for Claudia's law to be instated, which would allow families to manage a missing person's finances and property. This happened after Claudia's family were unable to sell her house, on which her mortgage and other charges accumulated.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
So Peter passed away in 2021, never knowing what happened to Claudia. Joan has said that she does not believe Claudia is dead, as she has no cut-off feeling. She went on to say, "I get up in the morning and see what the weather's like. If it's snowing, Claudia wouldn't have liked it. She hated the cold. In the supermarket, I see tulips, her favourite flower. You have to keep going. If I stay in bed all day looking at four walls, what good will that be? I will not give up hope. One day I will find out what happened to my daughter. So now, even 17 years later, it is amazing that she has that hope. You just think it's so highly unlikely that Claudia is still alive. Even if she was alive for a period of time, I guess maybe she could have taken off. I just feel like it's a pretty unlikely theory.
Yeah, agreed.
So as we mentioned, this week literally marks 17 years since Claudia vanished. I guess, you know, in terms of the main theories, one would maybe be that she took off to start a new life. Maybe she got in deep in over her head in some type of relationship scenario and she felt the best way was to take off, maybe to Cyprus. I feel like this is a very highly unlikely scenario. Why would you remain hidden for 17 years if it was about a relationship? You could just literally leave the town and go and move somewhere else if it was that bad. There'd be no need to go missing about it.
It doesn't really seem like she cared. And
no.
If there was like drama like that, I feel like there'd be more of a trail, like more people would know about if it was something that serious. Like, would her friend Susie would probably know about it? Like, people would probably know something about it.
And I feel like it seems like Claudia, even though they said she was discreet about the relationships, I feel like it sounds like people still knew about them. You know, like all these men who were arrested at the pub. Like, anyway, I guess that leads into the next theory. But the other theories that we've read about is that Claudia was killed by someone she knew. There was apparently no evidence of forced entry at her home. Maybe she left her home voluntarily to go to work. She met someone she knew on the way. Something happened. Maybe like someone pulled up in the car. I was like, get in the car. We need to talk. And she did. And then they had an argument, something along those lines.
Yeah.
Perhaps a secret relationship turned violent. Maybe Claudia threatened to tell someone's partner about an affair, or a person became jealous of Claudia, maybe having other relationships. Like maybe, this is just a name. Maybe she was seeing a guy called John. And John wanted her to be exclusive and she wouldn't. Like those type of scenarios, just involving jealousy, which I feel like maybe it is along those lines. I don't think this was likely a random attack. I don't think she was walking to work at 5:30 a.m. and just randomly got picked up by someone. I feel like this sounds like it was more of an intimate relationship related crime for whatever reason, if it was someone's wife or partner, if they were jealous, or someone she was maybe in a relationship with. I do feel like these people from the Nag's Head may be involved. Like, I've spoken to a few people about this and they've, you know, obviously we're not naming names because the names aren't public and they've never been charged. Like, the charges were dropped, but it sounds like police believe a lot of people who were regulars at the pub know more about what went on, and maybe they all kind of work together to murder Claudia and get rid of the body. I feel like for me, that would be the most likely explanation.
Yeah, it's just like weird because there's really nothing to point you in any direction at all. We did this whole episode with all this information, but there's really no actual information, it seems like.
Yeah.
Besides that, she had like relationships with men who may have been married, but just weird because it's like they suspect that she was home and getting ready for work. So something that happened early in the morning, but like what you said, maybe someone came up and wanted to talk to her. She got in the car with them. Maybe someone offered to give her a ride to work since she was having car troubles.
I guess the other scenario that we haven't really spoken about is because police initially said they believe she went missing kind of on the morning of the 19th of March, and then they reverted back to saying maybe something happened to her the night before. So maybe she was in a relationship with someone and that person's like, hey, come over and stay the night. So she packed a work bag.
Yeah, maybe.
And went. But then also, if you were going overnight, wouldn't you take your bank cards and things like that? Like, what if you needed money? I don't know. Like, maybe she had cash. Maybe she had some cash and she thought that'll be enough to get me through till tomorrow. I don't know. But I could see that being a scenario for how something may have happened the night before. But then also, wouldn't she be maybe more seen on CCTV? I don't know.
It's weird that her chef clothes are missing, but her debit card and wallet and stuff is there.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I feel like if I'm going anywhere, I take my bag. Even if I'm just going for 5 minutes down the road or whatever,
I always do.
But maybe, like, she could have had cash and that she, you know, they said her rucksack was missing, so maybe she did have, you know, some cash in the bag and that was it. So I do think the police probably have an idea about what happened. They just aren't able to prove it. Like when it says the four men who drank, local men who drank in the Nag's Head were all arrested on suspicion of murder. So,
and they did say that comment about how people are lying to them. So I bet like this local townie group that goes to the bar often maybe knows some things or has heard some whispers but is obviously not sharing.
And they've reiterated it many times. Like one of the quotes, in my view, they have probably been helped by the fact that those closely associated with Claudia have withheld key information. And the other one is, I'm sure that there are people who know or have very strong suspicions for whatever reason. They've either refused to come forward or have been economical with the truth and that they haven't been honest with us. So I wonder too, like, obviously it's been 17 years. If these men were in their 50s and 40s, they will be aging now. So maybe when someone dies, someone will come forward. It's just crazy to me that if there are all these people involved, there's more people who are likely to talk and blab to someone. And it seems like none of them maybe have at this point.
Yeah, hopefully, maybe on their deathbeds or in their old age, they'll come forward. But seems unlikely at this point, sadly. I just don't even get how you keep like a secret like that. I guess maybe you just, I don't know.
I guess
I don't know if I could do it.
Yeah, I just can't even believe that none of them have told anyone else. So
yeah,
I don't know.
Especially with like multiple people that may know something.
So I did read an article. It is I'll just say this because it's kind of interesting. So there isn't, like, I was obviously Googling. This is an older case now. There was an article from September 2025 where her mother, who was 82 at this point now, they have apparently kept Claudia's home as it was. Like, there's photos which I'll put on the blog. It's her, like, closet, all her clothes. And then Joan has said that she thinks people are breaking in to the house. There's been three sets of break-in. Someone moved some of Claudia's underwear and left it hanging out of the closet. Weird. Yeah, and then it says a pink paper raffle ticket was found on the kitchen floor, and Joan is questioning as if it may be a clue left deliberately for her. She said, as soon as I unlocked the front door, I knew someone had been in the house, and I'm convinced this is now the third time. Bizarrely, a stack of video cassettes that had been in an alcove under the stairs had been moved upstairs to Claudia's bedroom and left on a chest of drawers next to her TV. Wouldn't you? I feel like I'd be getting cameras at their house.
Yeah, definitely. I'd be so creeped out.
I know. She said it's creepy and disturbing. This is still happening, 2025, that this is, they've kept the house how it is. And apparently,
it's also crazy. Yeah, they've kept it. Does she rent it? Do they own it?
I don't know. I don't think so. I feel like she must own it now. But they've, like, literally all Claudia's belongings are still in there. So I don't think they're renting it out to anyone. It seems like they've just kept it, I guess, maybe if she comes home. I don't know, but very strange.
Yeah, they definitely should be getting cameras.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm so shocked. Now, this is now 2025. Does no one else have cameras, even if they don't? Like, is there not any Ring cameras? Other CCTV? I don't know, but very, very strange.
Yeah. Who would even be breaking? Like, I don't know. Like, could they just be paranoid?
And you know what? I feel like, too, it could be like kind of a notorious house. Like, people in the area would be like, oh, that's where Claudia went missing from. So could even be just be teenagers breaking in to be,
like morbid tourism.
Drama. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. That's true. Could definitely be that.
Yeah.
I wonder how long they'll keep it for.
Yeah. Well, if Joan is 82 now, I don't know. I guess it comes to a point where the state will have to be dealt with. So I don't know. But yeah, it is interesting that they've just kept it literally. Like, she has, even the closet looks kind of messy. Like, she hasn't straightened anything up. It literally looks like how she's just thrown it all in there.
Yeah. I'll have to look after. I haven't seen it. All right. So that's really it for this episode. Be interested to hear what everyone thinks. So let us know either in the Spotify comments or on Instagram what you guys think could have happened. Everything will be on the blog at truecrimesocietyblog.com. As always, if you want to see any of our sources or just read more about the case, make sure you're following us on Instagram at True Crime Society. We're always posting new updates and, well, new cases and updates on old cases, following the latest breaking news always. Still no Nancy updates as of now.
Yeah.
Crazy. Maybe by the time this comes out, we always say, who knows? If you want to follow my account, mine is stephsum_Olivia's TCS Olivia. If you want to see what we're up to, check out our Patreon. We do weekly bonus episodes, so you'd get all the episodes ad-free plus an extra episode every week, and you'd get a nice shout-out on this episode, on the main episodes, and we have some chats on there and lots of stuff. Hopefully, we'll be doing more with Patreon soon. We have plans, maybe. We have thoughts. And if you could share to your Instagram stories that you're listening to podcasts, what you're doing while you're listening to the podcast, we love to reshare them and it helps us get the word out. So we always appreciate that. But that is it. So thank you guys so much for listening. Stay safe out there. Peace out.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.